Hello, everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the Baptism of the Lord, Year B. In a fitting turn for the first Sunday of the year, we start with the first day of creation in Genesis 1. In Acts, Paul upgrades the Ephesian believers from Baptism Beta 1 to OS Christ. And Mark eschews our nativity and introduces the adult Jesus baptized in the Jordan by John. All these new beginnings promise an exciting new year.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year B, Baptism of the Lord, comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It's only the first day of creation, as we are given in these particular verses, which is kind of hard to stop there. You do the first day and it's like, okay, first day, let's go on to day two. Just stopping there. Don't go any further. So we're going to stop there. But even though it's only five verses, we managed to find material for all but one of the smarts, which I'm kind of impressed with, actually. Thank you very much. But we're going to limit it to four, time. Also, in year A for Trinity Sunday, we use this particular passage as well. So we have a link on our worksheet. So we have a link on our worksheet to that particular Sunday. So go to the website and for sure download our worksheet for this passage for this particular day, because we have a lot of stuff. It was really difficult not to include all of it. We had to leave some of the children home. So we're going to look at eye smart, math smart, music smart, and nature smart, and we have illustrations and special effects for all four. So let's get started.
For eye smart, starting off with a couple of things that you can just show off, whether you count this as an illustration or a special effect, that's up to you. But we've got the Hubble photos of the pillars of creation. We've got a link for you to that. That's the famous, probably the most famous of the Hubble Space Telescope pictures.
It's really cool.
So, yeah. So thinking about creation, there you go, the pillars of creation. Then we have another piece of art. In some ways, those Hubble pictures end up being art.
They totally do.
But we've got a couple others here. We've got Earth's Creation by Emily Kamegnungware. And we have a link for that. And also some stained glass called Creation. And that is from Laura Gilroy.
Yeah, she was commissioned to do some stained glass for a man whose wife had died. And they worked together to come up with some images that were very meaningful to his late wife that would remind him of her. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So there are a wide variety of artistic pieces around the creation that you could make use of. Mm-hmm. So feel free to do your own search there, but we've got those links for you. Then for a special effect, begin the reading in as much darkness as you can manage in your sanctuary or your worship space, and then add little bits of light maybe as we go along, and some sound elements, maybe a fan blowing for the wind moving across the face of the waters, and go ahead and aim that at the front row. I don't know. Nobody that wouldn't do anything for us. Nobody sits in the front row in our
right.
church.
So, yeah. You have to turn on the big fans in the back, blow their hair.
Yeah. And then when you get to God saying, let there be light, crank the lights up. And there'd be a variety of ways you could do that. You could just have, you know, just flip them all on. Or, you know, if you plan ahead a little bit here more, you could have, you know, get the kids maybe up front and give them flashlights and
bing,
right? And let them shine
lightsabers.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Anyway, something to bring up the lights, and then all the lights, all the house lights, pour all the lights you have into it.
For Math Smart, we are looking at verse 5. There was evening and morning the first day. Creation takes time. It's a really dynamic process, and it's not a finished product, obviously, because we've only done the first day. So we're looking at, for Math Smart, using numbers and formulas and things like that, we looked up what might demonstrate a dynamic process, and David found the dynamical system definition?
Definitions. Some definitions of dynamical systems.
Yeah, so you can follow the link that we have in the show notes to see what those are.
It's basically either in math or in physics, it's a function or a system that it changes over time. That's the simplest part of it. But
so mathematically, it kind of represents the idea that that this creation is a process that continues.
Yeah.
So you can use that formula as an illustration of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and these are just from Wikipedia, actually, but it's a pretty good article, and.
If you're led to, you can go find the more technical and
yeah, this one's actually fairly technical.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Obviously, I didn't look it up. Okay, and staying with verse 5 for as an illustration, we have a link to a sine wave that might be used to illustrate the beginning of the cycle of day and night, of the way that it kind of changes. That could be kind of fun. And you could actually, if you choose to do the special effect for iSmart, you could use that sound maybe as sort of the underlying sound of creation waiting to begin. Sort of the spirit kind of doing the sine wave over the waters before everything starts.
Or get everybody in the congregation to do the wave. That'd be body smart, I think.
Yeah, and probably a little out of control.
Yeah.
Okay, is the special effect, in some ways we might say that God's creative acts in Genesis 1 are a releasing of the potential of the original system. And so to demonstrate this, set up a pendulum. And we have a link to a couple of ways of doing this with the bob of the pendulum pulled to one side as if you're about to start it, which you are, except not yet. So in this configuration of having the weight of the pendulum pulled to the side, this is potential energy. It's the weight is being pulled down by gravity, but it's not released yet. It's restrained. And so once you release the restraint, the system leaps into motion, and that's the kinetic energy. So you can just have that thing waving back and forth up there. A metronome also works the same way, and it also has kind of a little bit of music overtones to it, too.
For Music Smart, first of all, we've got a song called God of Wonders, which has been performed by Third Day and Kidman's Call. A song of God's creative energy and creative power. Then we have an excerpt from an article by Dan Clendenin. The article is called The Best of All Beginnings from Journey with Jesus, which is his blog. We're not sure where it actually belongs because there's a lot to it, and it stretches over a number of different smarts here, but it goes like this. I come from a God who sees. Seven times in the creation narrative, God pauses to reflect on his handiwork, and God saw. Well before his work is done, he steps back to behold all that is taking shape before his eyes, like a musician who thrills at a swelling harmony, like a poet who gasps at a beautiful turn of phrase. God lingers over his creation, every leaf, every wing, every stream, every child. He's not in a hurry, and his interest in the world is far from utilitarian. God's is the gaze of the artist, keen, perceptive, and patient. He observes, he attends, he notices. I come from a God who pays delighted attention. He sees. I like that. That's nice. I like that too.
Yep.
It's nice.
And if you want to see that, you can download it with our worksheet for this passage.
Right. So obviously some iSmart overtones there, body smart, word smart, self smart. We put it in music.
Because it's poetic.
Because it's poetic, yeah. And speaking of poetry, we also have, as a special effect, The Creation from God's Trombones by James Weldon Johnson. It's a classic poem.
That's awesome.
It's just really neat and goes through the whole of creation. So it's a little more than we need for the five verses here. But it's really cool. It's a great poem. Yeah. So we encourage you to use that. Poetry, because Music Smart includes poetry.
And then finally for Nature Smart, verse 2 is the waters, the earth, they're raw materials out of which God forms life. So as an illustration, bring in some tilled up dirt ready for use in a garden. Bring in some groceries. Bring in a blank page or a canvas or a wall. Bring in the raw edges of material, wool waiting to be spun, a cotton bowl, a brick or a stone, a stump of wood, a musical scale. These are all raw materials that we use to make something. And those are all illustrations from nature of the materials for creation.
Kind of special effect-y.
Yeah, kind of. And for a special effect, bring in clay, bring in dirt, bring in some sackcrete, bring in some wool or cotton or bamboo or silk yarn, bring in some raw materials and invite people to imagine what can come out of them. Or go one step further and invite someone who has experience working with those raw materials to come up and begin a project with them while you were preaching. This also has some eye and people smart elements too. It could be really cool. And if they don't finish it during the time of your sermon, give them permission to continue it and then bring it back later.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. That'd be neat. Okay, let's go on. The New Testament lesson for Year B, Baptism of the Lord, is Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. There's a short story about Paul meeting with the church in Ephesus. And so it starts off that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus. He meets some disciples and starts interviewing them to see what it is that they know and how they're experiencing their faith. And he says, "So you got the Holy Spirit, right?" And they're like, "What's that? Oh, wait. So into what were you baptized?" And they said, "John's baptism." And well, see, that's about repentance. And he said that you needed to be believing in the one who comes after him, which is Jesus. And they're like, okay.
All right.
Well, that's cool. So he baptizes them in Jesus' name, lays his hands on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. They prophesy and speak in tongues. And then other things happen. But that's the end of the passage.
Right. So we don't know what that was.
We don't.
Unless we go on.
Right. Which we're not going to. So we've got three of the intelligences here. We have more information or more ideas for you about some of the other ones at the worksheet at morethanhearing.org. But for the time being, we're going to do Math Smart and Body Smart and People Smart. And we have illustrations and special effects for each of them. So kick us off here, Molly, with the Math Smarts.
Okay. Well, the type of baptism that John was offering to people out in the wilderness, which we'll get to in the gospel passage, but which is referenced here, was a baptism of repentance. And repentance is so often thought of as, I feel so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and kind of a guilt sort of thing. But it's not. Repentance in Greek is literally metanoio, which means change your mind. Yeah. So we're thinking of that in terms of Math Smart as an illustration, as you receive new data or new evidence, and that is enough weight for you to choose a different path. So illustrating that, it might be considered like balance scales that have shifted, and to reestablish equilibrium, they need to change. So visualize someone with a yoke on their neck and unequal weight, making that person stagger in a different direction. Or you could even actually do that as a special effect if you want to. Get somebody up there with something across their shoulders and have them with a balanced weight, and then suddenly add more weight to the other one, and it kind of makes them stumble and move a little bit, and then they have to reestablish equilibrium, put more effort on the heavier side to get back into balance. So that's kind of what the baptism of John is all about, is reestablishing balance after you've been given some evidence that makes you change your mind. So there's a way to illustrate that. That's also a little bit of Body Smart if you actually use that yoke thing. Mm-hmm. for special effect, David created a flow chart, and we have a link to that, and it's actually also on the worksheet. But the idea is you approach, so Paul approaches the Ephesians and asks the question, have you received the Holy Spirit? And if you say yes, the response is, go do ministry, and you're done. And so then we have the other flow is, if the answer to the question is receive the Holy Spirit is no, into what were you baptized, John or Jesus? And then it flows into eventually go do ministry from those points as well. So go take a look at that flow chart. It's kind of fun. It's an interesting way of presenting the idea of what is happening here in a mathematical sense using a flow chart.
For Body Smart, we have a reference here to a book by Francis Ashcroft, and it's called The Spark of Life. And it's a book about the electrical nature of the human body and how, well, if you ever saw The Matrix, you know how that works. But if you didn't, our bodies run on electricity and generate electricity. And that is part of how we function from conception to death.
Right. So if you've ever shuffled your feet across a carpet and reached out and touched something metal or a dog's nose.
For example. And so this book is about that spark, that electricity that runs through us. And so that could be an illustration for the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in us, that the Spirit motivates us and moves us and makes sure that we're spiritually alive in much the same way. So that would be the comparison there.
Which
would be a good thing to connect with the MathSmart illustration that Molly was talking about, which was the baptism of repentance, so that you get the balance, but but then what's the Holy Spirit about? So it's this next level.
So, I like that.
So there you go. Then for special effect, connect with the end of the passage where Paul is laying on hands with them and offer the laying on of hands, perhaps even anointing with oil, and prayers for blessing, for wholeness, healing, and the presence of the Holy Spirit for your folks. And you can do this either by inviting people to come forward to receive it from the pastor, the elders, or inviting people to offer blessings to one another, resting their hands on one another's heads or shoulders. And in the latter case, provide some words for them to use for blessing, such as, Spirit of the living God, present with us now, enter you in body, mind, and spirit to heal you of all that would harm you in Jesus' name, which I think is a broadly used blessing. I learned it at Iona in Scotland, but it also appears in a number of prayer books, including the PCUSA Book of Common Worship, page 916, if you're interested. So anyway, that would be a way for everybody to be experiencing that laying on of hands.
And for people smart, baptism is the idea of we have a lot of images and a lot of definitions for what baptism here. But for this particular intelligence, people smart, it's submitting yourself to what God is doing. And it's everyone submitting themselves to what God is doing, kind of being the body of Christ as you move out into the world. So hey, there's some body smart for you. We have a couple of illustrations, and I'm going to share the one that I found, and then I'm going to let David do the other one because it's his story. But I was reading an article from Sermons That Work, which is from the Episcopal Digital Network. A woman named Debbie Royals, who does a lot of Native American advocacy work in Los Angeles, tells a story about a Native American coyote story about a man who set out from his village looking for heaven and what the coyote did to direct him to where he could find heaven. It's really a cool story. I highly recommend it. I'm not going to take the time to go through it now, but I really, really recommend it. So go to the link at the show notes at www.morethanhearing.org and click on that and read the story. Read the article, and it's nestled there in the story. I really like it. Tell your story, honey.
Well, so I was thinking about this interaction between Paul and the Ephesians and just the reaction that Paul must have had, like, wait, what do you mean? In the middle there, when they said, what's the Holy Spirit? It reminded me of the time that our family went to Toronto, Canada for a friend's wedding. And we drove up, the kids were little, and we drove up. And
you were going to be flying
someplace. I was flying to do a workshop, I think in Iowa or someplace. And so I was flying out of Canada back into the U.S. And as I was on my way, when they started handing out the customs sheets that you're supposed to fill out, I thought...
Were you on the flight when this happened?
I was on the flight.
In the air.
I was in the air. And I thought...
This is 1998, by the way.
Right, yeah. And I thought, I wonder if I need some identification to get back into the country.
I mean, you're coming from Canada.
Right. And, you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania. We used to go to Niagara Falls and, you know, you cross the border and nothing to it, right? And nobody ever checks anything. And they didn't when we went into the country. And
that's true. They didn't. We just drove right into Canada because they're so polite.
Yeah. And so we're on the flight and in we come and I'm thinking, And so I get in line at customs and I go up to the officer there and he's looking down at his podium and his paperwork and he says, "Papers, please." And I said, "I haven't got a passport." And he just snapped up and I was like, "What?" Eyes like dinner plates, you know. It's like, except not in just surprise, but a little bit of menace too. It's like, "What do you mean?" I never needed one to drive in, and so I've got a driver's license, and by God's grace,
you got back in,
and because it was pre 9/11, I was able to get back into the country. Otherwise, I would have been sitting in an office somewhere.
To this day.
Yeah, I'd be at Gitmo or something. I don't know, but well, maybe not. So anyway, I kind of thought about that guy and that his reaction may have been what Paul did when they said, "What's the Holy Spirit?"
What? What?
Yeah. So you can feel free to use my story there if if you want.
For a special effect, here's a question that you can ask your congregation to ponder amongst themselves. How are we living out our baptism? Just let them sit and talk about that and have them brainstorm some ways that they're doing it. That would be really cool. That could actually be a good way of sort of giving yourselves some direction for the new year as well.
Perhaps so.
And you can always, which is what I'm planning on doing with my congregation this Sunday, use the liturgy for the renewal of the baptismal covenant that is in the Book of Common Worship. It's always a good way to start out the new year being reminded of your baptism.
And the anointing would fit in with that
actually.
You can double up there.
Body and people. Hey, mm-hmm. There we go. Doing it again. All right. The gospel lesson for year B, Baptism of the Lord, is from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. This is the story of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan by John, and the heavens opening up, the dove descending, and Jesus alone hearing the voice coming from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." There's an awful lot that can happen in this particular passage. We have all sorts of options for each of the intelligences, but we're going to stick with four. Well, this particular, some of this passage appeared in Advent 2, so you can look at that worksheet if you'd like to. Plus, you could also look at our worksheets for Baptism of the Lord, Year A and Year C, which we will have links to all three of those on the show notes, the worksheets for what we did with those. So what we're going to do with this particular selection is look at Body Smart, both illustration and special effect, illustrations for Music Smart, both illustration and special effect for Nature Smart, and a special effect for Self Smart. So let's start with Body.
Okay, thinking about going into the Jordan River and what that might be like. So describe for your folks that feeling of going for a dip in a river, the creek, lake, or a pool on a hot day. We don't know if it was a hot day, but...
We can assume.
Yeah, because most of us don't go in on a cold day, so...
Right.
So it'll be a shared experience anyway, thinking about a hot day. All right. Well, anyway, go ahead. Just talk about what that feels like. What does the water feel like? And how is the temperature difference? How do you experience that? Is it refreshing? Is it bracing? Is it chilling? Is it shocking?
Would be today.
Do you take the plunge or do you go in bit by bit?
Oh, totally go take the plunge. Oh, if you go in bit by bit. Oh, it hurts.
No,
oh, I hate that.
So either way, then how is it once you're finally under the water? And what is it like when you come up out of the water? And so all of those would be a way of connecting with Jesus' experience, kind of going on an assumption of immersion baptism here, but connecting with being in the water. So for special effect, then, bring in a super soaker, you know, one of the big water guns there, a bar of soap, a bottle of shampoo, maybe a back scrubber and a towel, shower cap, bath toys, you know, all the things associated with taking a bath or getting a shower. And talk about what you need to take a bath.
And what would the purpose of what's the purpose of taking a bath?
Right.
To get clean.
Sometimes. Yes. Sometimes there are other things that are going on, you know, comfort or relaxing or changing your temperature or...
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
You know, all sorts of reasons. So anyway, just getting your mind in touch with the body in the water.
For Music Smart, we have four different illustrations and links to each of them. The first is a poem called Beginning with Beloved, A Blessing by Jan Richardson. We have a poem called Christ's Own Forever by Barry Bates. We found a hymn by John, and I'm not going to pronounce this name right, John Ylvisaker? Ylvisaker?
Ylvisaker.
Anyway, look it up in the show notes. He has a hymn that has a line called, You Can't Kill Me, I've Already Died. It's interesting. And then we also have another poem written by Andrew King called And the Heavens Were Opened.
For Nature Smart, I got really hung up on the sky being the heavens being torn apart. And so you'll see some of my meanderings in the other smarts on that. But that's in verse 10 here. But think about what that would be like. And so what is the most interesting celestial or atmospheric phenomenon that you have ever seen?
Oh, I know.
Yeah?
The total solar eclipse.
Total solar eclipse
last
is a
August.
Good one. Right, that's a very good one. So that, or maybe noctilucent clouds, or
what the heck is that?
Clouds that at sunset or whatever appear to be glowing above the horizon. It's kind of cool. Other sort of cloud formations, or sun dogs and moon dogs and rings around.
Remember when Jacob was a kid and we'd see the sun rays shining down through the clouds?
Yes,
and he'd say, "There's God."
Yeah, so that's crepuscular rays.
They're really cool.
They are, and then there are anti-crepuscular rays.
Those are the ones that shine behind
that
them.
Go up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So all of those, anyway, and we have a link to a collection of several of those different sorts of things. So think about those or talk about those, explore those a little bit, and maybe either describe them the best you can or even invite folks, this gets into a little bit of people, but invite people to talk with each other about trying to describe those. And you'll probably find that it's really hard to give a good verbal description of these unusual phenomena. And so for Mark to say that the heavens were torn apart, it's like, yeah, I can see why that would be hard to describe. We wish he would say more about that. But anyway, there it is. So just, again, a way of connecting with the text. And if you did happen to witness the total solar eclipse in 2017, then you can show some pictures of that and talk about your experience. Or if there's somebody in your congregation who did, if you didn't, then invite them to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. And for Self-Smart, in some of the poking around I did on this particular passage, I came across this quote from an article called Assumed and Healed, written by Brian Volk at the Ecclesia Project, and we'll have a link for that at the show notes. But this is the quote. Jesus stands before John to expose and assume all our hidden darkness and heal it, not only our sin, but every single guilt gem, whether betrayal, excess, deception, or violence, We carry in memory's pockets and retrieve at times to start another round of self-flagellation. He frees us from the hopeless project of trying to claim a better past.
Mm.
I just thought that was riveting. And so present people with that quote, put it on an insert in the bulletin or get it handed out somehow and send them home with it and encourage them as they read that to imagine themselves standing next to Jesus in the water and looking up at what he's seeing and hearing what he's hearing. And as your guilt gems get washed downstream, imagine what Jesus does and says to you.
Very cool.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe even got an idea that you liked better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS, or just point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store, and of course you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week, so in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.